God not only wants to bless us, but he wants to bless others through us. He wants us to learn how to give blessing and receive blessing. All blessings trace back to the heart of God. You know, you're probably saying, as we do, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Every blessing comes from the heart of God. In Genesis, the first words that God spoke were words of blessing. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.'" And in verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." On every other day, God had said, he looked at what he had made, and he saw that it was good. But on this day when he made us, and you know, when he created Adam and Eve, he saw you, he knew you, and when he looked upon you, as he looked upon Adam, he saw that it was very good. It's very good. So let that word "very good" just hang over you for the rest of this talk. The Father speaks to you and he says, "Very good." In the Gospels, Jesus tells us that it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So what was in God's heart when he spoke these words of blessing towards us? Well, I can only imagine that it was great delight and pleasure, that his heart was filled with joy as he looked upon us. Now, the Greek word for blessing literally means a good word. So a blessing is a good word that finds its source in the heart of God. And we know that words have power. So to receive the blessing from the heart of God is power to change us and to transform us. The Hebrew sense of blessing always has to do with speaking well about someone, speaking and imparting something that gives somebody the power to have a pleasant journey in life, the power to prosper, the power to succeed and to become. That's what the Hebrew sense of blessing means. And when we speak a blessing over one another, what we're doing is we're trying to speak the heart of God, the thoughts of God, into another person's heart. That's the treasure, as I spoke about earlier. That's the treasure we seek. Our lives, our hearts are searching for the treasure of God's words and God's thoughts about us. And we have been given the ability, especially when we pray for one another, to speak words from the heart of God to change another person's life. God's plan is that the church and the family would be a constant source of speaking his blessing over us. Every one of us needs to be blessed. We all need to hear the Father's whispers. We all need to receive what's in his heart for us. So I'd like to take a little time now to reflect on how God the Father broke into the life of his son Jesus and spoke blessing over him. And the scriptures record these special events of God breaking in at the time of Jesus's conception, during the pregnancy, at his birth, at his presentation in the temple, at his baptism, and prior to going to the cross. Just as Jesus received blessings from the Father at major points in his life, so we too need to receive blessing from the Father and know that at the major times of our life, he was speaking the blessing even if we could not hear it, we could not receive it. So it's never too late to receive it now, because when God speaks, it's eternal and it remains forever. The blessings that Jesus received belongs to us because now we are in Christ. So let's begin with the conception. It was the sixth month, and God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married. And when the angel came to her, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And in Luke 1:29, it says, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Now, that would have been enough just to kind of just undo Mary, because here it is, an angel saying that the child you will bear, his name is Jesus, which means, his name means the Lord saves. So that would have been enough, more than enough. But the angel goes on and says, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." than during a pregnancy. It says in verse 39 of Luke 1, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Mary comes into the home of the priest and says, speaks a greeting. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby within her womb leaps, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And she makes a declaration, but she doesn't just make it softly. It says in a loud voice, she exclaims, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Both Jesus and Mary were receiving a blessing, were receiving affirmation from the Father as the action of the Holy Spirit worked in Elizabeth. Then at the birth, God provides shepherds and kings to honor Jesus and confirm his identity and his destiny. The angels revealed the glory of God to the shepherds and announced that today a Savior has been born, and they witnessed the heavenly hosts praising God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says that Mary treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She took them in. And that's what the actions of God, the blessings of God through our life is supposed to, that's how we're supposed to respond. We're supposed to take them in, ponder them, drink of them, eat of them, just consume them so that they will be within us so that we can speak them out. And then the presentation at the temple in Luke chapter 2, 25 says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here's Simeon, an old man. He's got a promise from God. And then one day he was moved by the Spirit, and he went into the temple courts. And I kind of imagine him just wondering why the Holy Spirit brought him into the temple courts on this day. I just kind of imagine him walking around looking and saying, what is it? What do you have for me? Is this the day? Is this the day you promised? Is this the day I will see? Or what is it that you have for me? And then out of the corner of his eye, he sees Mary and Joseph carrying Jesus. And he's locked in. And he runs over to them. And he takes hold of the baby. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Now, those of you who are mothers don't often allow strangers to grab your baby. And if you did, because maybe you thought this was a holy man, or maybe because of the Spirit or whatever you thought, you would listen very carefully to what happened next. I kind of imagine Joseph just being ready to grab that baby at any moment. But they waited, and Simeon took the baby in his arms and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel. Now, Simeon wasn't there to see the miracles. He didn't hear the preaching. He didn't see anybody raised from the dead. He wasn't there at the crucifixion. He wasn't there for the resurrection. But when he looked at this baby through the Holy Spirit, he saw it all. He received it all. And he said, now my life is fulfilled. Your promise has been fulfilled. Now you can dismiss your servant in peace. Prophecy came to Mary and Joseph to confirm what they already knew, to bring revelation and encouragement, to help them to hold firmly to what they knew was true. These stories became a testimony, a story to tell about how God intervened in their life and in the life of their son. When I was writing Unbound, I was thinking about blessing, and I was thinking about these stories of the Father blessing Jesus and the words that he spoke. And I wrote a meditation, and the meditation was about Mary and Joseph blessing Jesus, taking the things they pondered in their heart and speaking them. And of course, it got cut out of the book by the editor, and it's long enough, I think. And so I began to use it as a meditation during our conference. And people began to tell me, you need to publish that. And then others told me it needs to be a children's book. And, you know, so I just tried to be obedient. And it took a couple years of small steps. And before you knew it, we had our first children's book called Will You Bless Me? And the story is about a father who is tucking his daughter into bed. And she sneezes. And, of course, her stuffed animals go all over the place. And Dad says, bless you. And Anna, being a smart little girl, says, what does that mean? Why do you always say bless you? Now, Anna could be like a lot of little children who, when they don't want Dad to leave the room or they don't want the light to go out, they think of questions. You know, I remember when I taught high school, the kids would also always ask questions to keep me from getting to the next topic, which would require an assignment. Now, Dad is a pretty cool guy. He knew that you need to pay attention to teachable moments, that sometimes you just have these moments where you can teach, where you can impart something. So instead of going down to watch the Phillies game, he decided he's going to spend some time with his daughter. So he goes over to the shelf and he gets a book that Grandma had given and says, I'd like to read to you about a blessing. And so I'm going to read to you part of what he read to her. A long time ago, in a place called Nazareth, a little boy played with a wooden chest that his father had made. There were treasures in that chest, treasures given to his family not long after his birth. Mom, the boy called out, could you tell me about the wise men again? His fingers toyed with something shiny inside the chest. Mary set aside her sewing and pulled her son, Jesus, onto her lap. It was after you were born, she said. Three wise men came to see us from far away. They were beautifully dressed and carrying gifts just for you. One brought gold, another frankincense, and a third one myrrh. God told them that a very special child had been born. It was a star, wasn't it, Mom? Jesus interrupted. That's how they found us. That's right, Mary told him. God put an amazing star in the sky, and the wise men followed it. Joseph put down his tools and leaned closer to hear his wife and son. He loved these moments when Mary talked to Jesus about his birth, telling her son all the thoughts and plans God had just for him. Joseph could feel the presence of God, Jesus' true father, reaching down to bless his only son through Mary's simple words. Now tell me about the angel, Jesus begged, the one who told the shepherds about me. Mary smiled. Well, the shepherds were watching the sheep late at night when the whole sky suddenly lit up with God's glory. At first, the shepherds were frightened, but the angel said to them, shepherds, don't be afraid. The news I bring you is wonderful. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And here's proof of what I am saying is true. You'll find this baby snuggled in warm clothes and lying in a manger. Mary touched her eager son's face. The shepherds came, she said, and told us all the angel had said about you. God has such special plans for your life, Jesus. The little boy grew quiet now. Joseph could tell that he was thinking. Tell me again about the first angel, Mom, Jesus pleaded. The one who told you I was coming. That's my favorite part. Mary drew a deep breath, remembering the wonder of the moment. As a young girl, I was pledged to be married to your father. I was so excited, thinking about it day and night. And then, she paused, the angel appeared. It was Gabriel, wasn't it? The boy chimed in. Yes, it was. And he said, you didn't need to be afraid. That's right. Then he told you about me and that you should name me Jesus. Mary looked deeply into the eyes of her son. The angel told me that you would be great, Jesus, that you will be called the Son of the Most High. As Jesus took in these words, he rested his head against his mother and heard the soft beat of her heart. Somehow, Jesus sensed that there are many treasures kept there for him to know someday. Joseph wiped his eyes. He treasured moments like these when he and Mary had the joy of unfolding the heart of the Father to God's own precious Son. Just then, the boy's head popped up. So, what happened to the gold? He asked. Winking at Mary, Joseph said, I guess God knew we needed it for our vacation in Egypt. But by now, Jesus had hopped off Mary's lap and ran out to play. The moment was over, but the blessing was eternal. So, Anna, he said, Dad said, that's a blessing. The special thoughts and plans God has for you, shared by someone who loves you very much. And Anna says, will you bless me? And then he goes on to bless her in a way that lays out an example for parents to bless their children. And that's really the point of it, to get children to say, will you bless me? And for parents to have the confidence and the understanding of how to receive and treasure what God has given them, and to speak from God's heart into the hearts and lives of their children. Now, many of you have had prophetic words spoken over you. Some of you have been told the meaning of your name and how special it was when you were born. And some of you have had stories told that reveal something of who you are. And it's so good for you to remember. I've had a great blessing with my grandchildren because when our oldest grandson was born, Stephen, he We were just, Jen and I were just really excited. We had to drive from Pennsylvania down to Virginia to see him. And we were driving down, and as I was driving down, I was reflecting on the fact that I had just recently been with this prophetic man, and he was talking about how, you know, you just need to receive words from God for people. And I sat at lunch with him, and he was like, and the waitress would come over, and then he said, you know, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I get pictures and words, and before you know it, she walks away like she received the biggest tip that she ever got. And I'm thinking, how do you do that? But it just made me alert that we need to be aware of looking for what's in God's heart for other people. So as I was driving down, I was just asking the Lord to show me who my grandson was in him, give me a word for him. So when we got there, I sat down, I took Stephen in my arms, and I said, hello, Stephen, I'm your grandpa, and I'm a Christian. And sometimes God gives me pictures. So I really stepped out in faith, took a lot of risk, and you know, could have really been embarrassed in front of him, you know. And sure enough, I immediately got a picture. And I just saw this man, like he was 40 years old or so. He's like a Moses figure. And he was walking up the sand dunes. Now, he looked like, it felt like Moses, but he wasn't as big as Charlton Heston. He was thinner. And so I just said, Lord, I just had the impression that he had been alone with God. I just said, Lord, thank you that my grandson is going to know what it's going to be like to be alone with God, to spend time alone with you. And then I thought, but Lord, why is he at the beach? And immediately I got an impression. And it was, the Lord was saying, it's because he's going to be there when the tide turned. You know, we've been working and desiring all our life to see the tide turn, where the world would stop overtaking the church and the church would overtake the world. And so I believe that there's a fulfillment of the heart's desires that we've carried to see that in his life. So that's a treasure that I have for him that I tell him sometimes on his birthday. And since I did it for Stephen, I've had to do it for every one of them. So I'm going to be taking a risk very shortly with my granddaughter that's going to be born. And it's just amazing how God is so ready to show you who your children are, who your grandchildren are, and to have something to treasure and to hold on to. I had an experience of being blessed in a very similar way, but it was through a pair of prophetic people. Two prophetic ladies came into town, and they were ready to minister to the leaders of this big gathering we had in Philadelphia. And so they came over to our house. They asked if they could pray with us, and we had them over to our house. And they came in, and they were dressed in combat fatigues, you know, which wasn't that surprising because a lot of prophets are a little strange. You know, they're just... And that's not to insult prophets. It's just that they're moving at another realm, and things that are important to some are just not important to them. And they're seeing things and they're going for it. And they came in and they didn't want any tea. They didn't want any cookies. They just sat me down and they placed their hands on me. And immediately one of the women said, Gideon. And then again, Gideon. And then louder, I'm starting to shake, Gideon. And I'm saying, I got it, Lord. I'm Gideon. See, I always liked Gideon. You know, I just kind of liked him because, you know, he was like the weakest. His clan was the weakest, and he was the least in his tribe, and he was just a small guy. And I just saw myself as a small guy and just doing and being faithful to the work the Lord gave me to do. And that was fine. And I also like the thing about the fleece, you know, and we know that we're not supposed to teach people to do the fleece thing all the time, but I kind of like the idea that when God called Gideon, Gideon was the type of person that needed to know this was really God. So he said, Lord, if this is really you, put dew on the ground and not on the fleece. Next day, he wakes up. Wow, maybe that's from God, maybe not. Lord, this is really important because I could lose my life if I do what you tell me. So, Lord, would you put some dew on the fleece and not on the ground? And the next day, he wakes up and it's as he asked. And from that moment on, Gideon did what he was told. He did it with all the zeal that he could stir up because he knew it was God. And I liked that. I liked that about Gideon. And I thought it was just that I liked him. But when they spoke over me, they spoke something of my identity, something of being one of the small ones that God would give something to do for a season. And I knew that God was calling me. And I'd had no idea that Heart of the Father Ministries was ahead. God has been whispering to you and speaking to you about who you are. He's done it through little whispers. He's done it through things you like, characters in the Bible you are drawn to, or great heroes of the faith that you like. And he's speaking to you about who you are. And he wants you to be free to take hold of it and enter into it. Then there was a time when the Father spoke at Jesus' baptism. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him as a like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Present at that moment was both the blessing of Jesus' identity and his purpose. Through both words that empowered him and the Holy Spirit that was released upon him, Jesus was being released into his ministry. And the Spirit drove him out into the desert to pray and fast for 40 days. And then prior to his death, Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die, and he is transfigured with Moses and Elijah, and a voice from the cloud speaks, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father is empowering his Son to fulfill his destiny to go to the cross. Satan's attack upon us can always be narrowed down to two things. He's attacking our identity and our destiny, or what could be said is our life's purpose, the purpose we're here for. We have recorded in Scripture two major attacks of the enemy on Jesus. First, his identity. He's in the desert, and the tempter comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus was just baptized, and the Spirit came down upon him, and the voice spoke, and now the tempter comes and says, "If you are the Son of God." And then again in verse 6, Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down," questioning his identity as the Son of God. And then finally in verse 9, "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me, if you acknowledge me as your Father." The second attack we have recorded in the Scriptures is an attack on his destiny or his life's purpose. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to suffer and die, and he tells his closest companions what's going to happen. And Peter turns to him and says, "God forbid that should happen to you." One translation has it that Peter rebuked the Lord. Imagine that. He rebuked the Lord. And Jesus turns and he looks at Peter and he says, "Get away from me, you Satan." Now, Jesus was not concerned with Peter's feelings that day. He knew where that temptation was coming from. He didn't say, "Well, Peter, let's sit down and discuss this. Let's just draw up a list of pros and cons and see which is best." He knew where it was coming from, and he rebuked it. He wouldn't entertain it. And that's an example for us. When we hear the lies and the attacks of the enemy, we need to rebuke it right away. Say, "I will not fellowship with you. I will not listen to those lies about my life." Parents have a difficult job. They have to correct behavior and yet honor their children. Correction has to do with performance. Rejection has to do with identity. And as parents, we mix it up. We reject our children when we're trying to correct them. And as children, we've experienced rejection when our parents needed to correct them. And things have just gotten mixed up. And if the predominant thing in our life is that we were blessed as children, all that other stuff falls away. But if we don't know the blessing, if we don't know our identity, then we can grow up thinking that anytime someone corrects us, they're rejecting us. And if we're not blessed, we will not know that we have what it takes to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Our identity and destiny, if our identity and destiny is not valued and affirmed, we basically have two choices. And the two choices are described in the parable of the two sons. One choice is to try harder to earn it. If I can't be accepted, at least I can be right. Rules, self-righteousness, self-reliance. The older brother. Many in the church don't know they're loved by God. They don't know God's purpose. And they're just trying harder and harder to earn it. The second choice is to give up. It's hopeless. That's what the prodigal did. "I'll never be good enough. I'll never be like my father. And I'll never be like my older brother. And well, I don't even want to be like my older brother." They just give up. When we were traveling through former communist countries, you just saw it in the men in particular, just giving up. Alcoholism rampant. They were taken away from any sense of dignity in terms of work and being ahead of their families. Just give up. God wants us to learn to bless others. The blessings that we receive from God are incomplete until we give them to someone else. Parents need to learn to bless children. A family blessing consists of meaningful touch, a hug, a spoken word, attaching a high value to the child, to speaking about a special future, and to stand with the child for that, to believe with them. Last year, Janet's dad was over. He's 88 years old at the time, and he was at our house visiting us. And he's heard this talk a few times, so this might be where it came from. But I was sitting at the kitchen, and he came over, and he just put his hand on my back. And it's like everything stood still in my mind. This is a moment. And I didn't want to do anything sudden, because I didn't want him to take his hand away. It just felt really, really good. Some of us have never been touched the way we needed to be touched. We've been touched, but not touched. And that's what he was doing. And I felt it. I drank it in real deep. I said, I want this, Lord. I know it's from you. So if you weren't blessed, it's never too late. God has a way of speaking and providing the blessing that you missed. None of us were blessed like Jesus was. Some of us were never blessed as children. For some, it's been generations in our family line that fathers and mothers have lost that sense of blessing. Some were conceived at times of great stress or poverty, worry, divorce, alcoholism, violence. Perhaps an abortion was considered, or a child right before you was aborted. Some were abandoned. Some parents died shortly after you were born. Some were never wanted. For some, the pregnancy was a burden. The birth was difficult. There was no celebration when you were born. But that's just a small story. That's not the bigger story. Your parents are not to blame. They're responsible. But you can't blame them, because we're responsible for our lives. We can look at our lives with hope, because we know, according to Romans 8:28, that everything, no matter what on that list belongs to you, everything works to the good for those of us who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He can take that stuff and make something really beautiful out of it. And we have power. We have power given to us by Jesus, who hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. So we can take our stand against the schemes of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the devil's works, so we can hear the whisper of the Father, knowing our true identity and being confident in the purpose that he has for each one of us. Jesus, your deliverer, has come. He has come to set you free, to bring you into the Father's house, and to set a table before you. The meaning of the Jubilee is that we get everything back that was stolen from us. We're no longer living just that small story, but we're part of the larger story. The larger story is the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the eternal story. And redemption means that we're breaking out of the small story that has defined us, and we're entering in to being defined and identified as a member of God's family, as one who belongs, as one who has always belonged, as one who is sharing in the eternal destiny that Jesus has provided for us before the Father. We have been made free in Christ. And now it's for us to take hold of the blessing that belongs to us, the Father's blessing. So let's stand, and I want to pray that blessing over you. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open up heaven and bless your children today. Just like my friend who, when the Father came running to her, she knew that he had waited a long time for that moment. Let there be a moment for many people here. They receive the Father's blessing. Like you just to go in your imagination to the River Jordan. Like you to see yourself standing by the river. Just let yourself feel the wind. It's a day like yesterday with the sun just beating down. You can smell the river, and you're standing in a crowd, and you're looking down into the water, and you see the Baptist, and he's standing waist deep. He's preaching. But today's a different day. You've come there every day for a week, and every day you've said, today I'm going to go down. But you always go home. You don't know why you haven't gone down. But today's different, because you can't really focus on what the Baptist is saying. Because yesterday something happened. John became quiet, and he pointed to the hillside, and he said, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you looked over, and you saw the man walking by, and you haven't been able to stop thinking, what does it mean that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Somebody told you it was Jesus from Nazareth. And now you're standing there wondering who this man could be and what would it mean. Now you feel the crowd behind you starting to move, and you sense that this is there's something happening. This is a moment. And you look over your shoulder. Your feet don't want to really move, but you look over your shoulder and you see him. And he's walking right towards you. It's the Nazarene, the one they said is the Lamb of God. And as he comes near to you, it's like he's going to walk by you, but you find yourself walking with him, shoulder to shoulder. First your ankle deep in the water, then your knee deep and your waist deep. And you're standing in front of the Baptist, and you've never seen John like this before. He's trembling. And he's looking at Jesus and saying, I can't baptize you. And Jesus says, baptize me for righteousness' sake. And John takes one trembling hand, and he places it on the head of Jesus. And he takes the other trembling hand, and he places it on your head. And in that moment, something goes through you. It's like light shining, going right through you, and it's separating all the light and the darkness in a moment. And you're plunged into the water. And as you go under the water, it's like a wind sweeps through it and washes all the darkness away. And you know you will never be the same again. Seems like minutes, but it's just moments. And you come up and you hear a rumbling in the sky and a voice. This is my son. And you see a dove descending, the power of the Spirit coming upon you. This is my son. And you look to your left for Jesus and he's not there. You look to the right, he's not there. And then you realize the most extraordinary thing happened. He is within you. And these words belong to you. This is my son. This is my daughter, in whom I take great delight, in whom I have great pleasure. Receive the Father's blessing. Receive his pleasure. Receive what he has for you. Let him call your name. Listen for the Father's whisper as he speaks your name and says, this is my son. This is my daughter, in whom I take great pleasure. Just want you to listen to the words of this song as we're going to end just with this meditation. Then we'll have the teams come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Keep receiving. Thank you.